My name is Nick Drabble, and I'm from IBM Software Group, and I'm the leader for our dynamic infrastructure strategy. What I'd like to talk to you today about is the reasons for changing our computing infrastructure. So computing infrastructures are changing, and the key driver is cost. Cost of hardware, of software, of management, of energy and cooling. Do you know, on average, computer systems globally are utilised at only about 15% of their capacity. And that means that 85% of the world's computers are running, being cooled, but doing no useful work. By adapting the environment to harness virtualization technologies, so sharing the processors, the network, the storage, even the operating systems and applications, you can do more with less. Business growth can be accommodated within existing infrastructures, and significant operational savings can be achieved. It's possible to drive efficiency improvements and cost savings by a factor of up to 4 or 5 times, with doubling of efficiency or halving of cost as a reasonable starting goal. The clever bit is the intelligence behind the virtualization that allows the infrastructure to adapt or flex according to business rules based on varying levels of demand. The service management capability driving this ensures that business service levels are maintained within an optimal, efficient configuration. In addition, since a virtualized environment enables flexibility, you're able to respond more quickly to new and changing market requirements, as well as integrate acquired business function efficiently. So computing infrastructures are becoming more dynamic, flexing minute by minute, hour by hour, according to demand, and ensuring efficiency. And this places a very different requirement on facilities compared to a static environment that we have traditionally well understood and managed to plan our capacities around. Rising energy and facilities asset costs, together with increasing corporate and social responsibility needs around carbon emissions, result in the need to create dynamic facilities infrastructures too, matching the power and cooling requirements to the IT load and heat. Being able to flex the facilities environment as computing infrastructure flexes according to demand, and all driven according to business rules. In effect, a real-time monitoring and closed-loop management system linking IT and facilities and automating the process that enables IT and non-IT assets to be managed efficiently. Exactly this capability is available from IBM today, and it is called dynamic infrastructure.
So, Nick, you talk about cost as a driver. Server costs has remained fairly stable over the last 10 years. Isn't this why organisations have chosen to deploy more and more servers?
Yes, indeed, exactly that. Capital costs for servers have remained very stable, and that has led to what's called server sprawl. But the costs of managing servers, largely due to people costs, have continued to increase and are now typically 5 to 8 times the cost of the hardware. In addition, we now face a new issue in that the cost of energy over 3 years to power the server is now projected to be higher than the cost of the server itself. So there's a new need to become more efficient, to better utilise our systems to drive the business, to do more with less.
I have a sophisticated building management system in place to take care of how my facilities are managed. Why should I consider any other approach?
Yeah, that's a good question, Jack. Thank you. Building management systems often have quite advanced capabilities to help optimise the environment, but that's typically around a stable computing infrastructure. Now, as virtualised computing infrastructures are deployed, optimisation involves flexing them hour by hour according to demand. So we're not saying replace the building management system, but we are saying by bridging intelligently between IT and facilities, we're able to flex the facilities to keep them in step with IT as the business demands. Given that over half of the energy consumed within a typical data centre is associated with facilities, by intelligently bridging between IT and facilities, we can double the operational savings and halve the carbon emissions.
I have energy metered in each of my buildings. What more do I need to report on energy usage and carbon emissions for the upcoming CRC legislation?
So the draft CRC proposals indicate that you need to report total energy usage for your organisation across the UK, and you'll need to buy carbon credits to cover that total energy usage. But in order to reduce energy consumption, you need to understand how energy is being consumed. Which are your most efficient assets that you need to utilise more? Which are your least efficient that you need to turn off as a priority or even replace? If you want to manage energy and carbon, you need to start by measuring it. And by using an integrated toolset that allows you to automate actions as a result, then you can have a self-managing, self-optimising, holistic approach.
Thanks, Nick. And if anybody would like to contact you regarding this matter any further, how would they do so?
So if you'd like to know more about this, why don't you join our webinar? Or if you'd like to contact me directly, please do so via email, and my address is nick_drabble, that's drabble, at uk.ibm.com.